This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. We continue now with the story of Nabiyuna Salih alayhi salatu wassalam in the series of ours, Stories of the Prophets. Yesterday we mentioned that when Salih alayhi salatu wasalam started to age, he started to intensify his da'wah. He started to exert himself to a greater extent in calling his people towards tawheed, belief in the oneness of Allah, because he realized that he was aging. And I explained that a Nabi does not only convey the message, a Nabi has genuine concern for his people. And similarly, when we do the work of deen, it must not only be to convey the message, but we must have genuine concern. We must leave no stone unturned in trying to see how we can convince people, how we can coax people, how we can bring them closer to the message. However, even though he intensified his message, his people were not listening. Rather, they threw out a challenge to him, a ridiculous challenge. They said, listen, if you want us to believe you, then bring a pregnant she-camel from that rock. Ridiculous, out of the ordinary, even illogical request. They were playing around with Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, but he saw an opportunity and he said, okay, take an oath that if I produce that she camel, you will believe in me. So they took an oath. He made salah, he made dua, and Allah split the rock and the she camel emerged. On the spot, a number of them embraced the deen and they joined the group of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. However, the majority still remained obstinate. They still remained on the idol worship. Now, there was one well, and this was a big camel. This was a camel that had a huge appetite, and when it would drink from the well, it would complete all the water in one day. And it would take another whole day for the water to fill in once again. So the people found it difficult, and they complained to Salih alayhi salam. So he said, listen, this is the ayah, this is the sign from Allah that you want. Right? And this is now the camel of Allah. So don't interfere with it. Let it graze. It will drink from the well one day and you drink another day. But the day when it's not drinking, or rather the day when it's drinking, you can milk the camel. You can take benefit from its milk. Eventually they got frustrated. Some scholars say there was a scarcity of water and they decided to kill the camel because they wanted all the water to themselves. They asked for the sign. Now they were rejecting the sign. But nobody had the guts. They feared the punishment of Allah. So they got two youngsters ready. How? By offering them a reward. That the two most beautiful young girls that we have, they will become yours for sexual gratification if you kill this camel. So the two of them went. The one struck the legs. It hamstrung the camel. And the other one took a sword and decapitated the camel. Killed the camel. Thereafter, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam told them, تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. 3 days. 3 days. And then the punishment of Allah will come. ذَلِكَ وَعْدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٌ. Now, that was where we stopped yesterday. Taking the discussion further, the scholars write that not only did Salih alayhi salam tell them 3 days, he even told them what will transpire. He said, on the first day, your faces will turn yellow. On the second day, your face will turn red. And on the third day, your face will turn black. They scoffed him, they mocked him, they ridiculed him, they laughed at him. And before they realized, their faces had turned yellow. And then another day passed, it became red. And on the third day, when it became black, that's when they panicked. They started wailing, they started screaming, they started screeching. But now it was too late. Remember what I said yesterday. Allah gives you respite. Allah gives you a lot of room, a lot of latitude. But when you go and ask for something out of the ordinary, and thereafter you do not accept the sign of Allah, then the punishment of Allah comes rather quickly. Even in the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the 7th juz, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions that the people of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came and said, that tell, O Isa, إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَن يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Can you Allah send for us one dastarkhan full of chows from heavens, directly from Jannah, not ankle wires? So he said, of course Allah can do that. But you know, why do you need it? قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ صَدَقَتَنَا وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. You see, shaitan works in a very sophisticated way. So they said, Isa, he said, why do you want it? Of course Allah can produce it. I mean, if Allah can give you food on earth, why can Allah produce food in Jannah? So why do you want the dastarkhan to come from Jannah with food? So they said, no, well, firstly we want to chow. نُرِيدُ أَنْ نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا. We want to eat the food of Jannah. وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا. You know, then our hearts will be satisfied. That no, yeah, in the afterlife also there's good chows. وَنُرِيدُ أَنْ نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا. Then we'll know exactly you're talking the truth. وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. But don't worry. Once you bring the chow and we eat it and we taste it and we enjoy it, then we'll bear testimony and we'll tell others that definitely you are the Nabi of Allah. Now the Nabi again saw an opportunity. قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ اللَّهُمْ رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِنْكَ. Allah, send the food. It will be a moment of great joy, and it will be a sign from you. When they see that food, then they will accept Islam. So a Nabi was always desirous that everyone must accept the deen. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very enthusiastic, very desirous. And when they would reject the Nabi of Allah, he would become very disheartened. And that's why Allah says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't destroy yourself in trying to convince them to accept the message. Do what you need to do, but at the end of the day, your message, you make your effort. The rest is in Allah's hands. In the end of the day, they have been given a choice. You can't force the deen down their throats. But the lesson for us to learn is, as vicegerents of Allah, as followers of the Nabi, where's our enthusiasm to see people reform, to see people change their ways, to see people mend their ways, to see people come back to the deen of Islam? But then, coming back to that story of Isa alayhi salam, Allah said, إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. Okay, I'll send it. But, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. If after the dastarkhan comes from Jannah, and after you eat that food and you see that sign, then if you disbelieve in Allah, you'll get a painful punishment the like that has never been seen before. So we must not play around with Allah. We must not play games with Allah. And this is what the nation of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam did. So they asked for the she-camel and then they killed the she-camel. Finally, the punishment is about to arrive. Now in their panic, what they decide to do, they say, hey, let's take out the Nabi. Let's take out the Nabi. If we're going to go, he must also go. Now we've got nothing to lose. So Allah says in the 19th juz, وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْتٍ يُسْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُسْلِحُونَ. Nine guys. Nine. They said, right, we're ready, we're going to kill him. Maybe, I don't know, in some twisted way, they thought by killing Salih alayhi salam, it would avert the punishment. But Allah says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكَرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكَرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Hey, they had a plan, but Allah had a plan. And Allah's plan was in motion. All nine of them were killed. A rock fell as they were walking and as they were moving in the darkness of the night to kill Salih alayhi salam. A rock fell on them and all nine of them were obliterated. The next morning, the punishment of Allah arrived in two forms. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ السَّيْحَةَ فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةَ. Two things. A scream, a screech, a loud ear-piercing sound from the heavens and an earthquake from below. So that horrific, horrendous, earth-shattering sound from the top and then the splitting of the ground from below. And then Allah says, listen, فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The nation of Salih were known as Thamud, but they were also known as Ashabul Hijr, the people of the stones, because they carved those houses in the stones. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْحِجْرِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. 14th juz, Allah says they belied the messengers. وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ آيَاتِنَا فَكَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. We send them our signs, but they turned away. وَكَانُوا يَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا آمِنِينَ. But then they used to construct these wonderful houses in the mountains. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُصْبِحِينَ. But one morning that screech and that scream came from the heavens. And in the 8th juz, Allah says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ. The earthquake caught them. What was the net result? Allah says, فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Everything that they possessed, all their strength, all their wealth, everything. You know, when you go to Petra, it's a bit of a walk, right? Where when you come to the site that is one of the wonders of the world, then you have to pay. Everything in this dunya works with money. I mean, I could never understand. You go to the mall, you're shopping, the shops are making a profit, they bring the landlord a rent, but you must still pay for the parking. So in this dunya, nothing is for free. Only in Nurul Islam, you get the toilets for free. You know, in the Middle East, you must pay to use the toilets. Now, I'm not kidding. In the Middle East, You go to Damascus, Masjid Banu Umayyah, now you can't go because of the war. Friday, Jummah time, long queue. You think, okay, maybe the toilets are busy. You stand in the queue, you come to the front of the queue, again, nothing busy. The man is sitting there with an old-fashioned till, you know, the one they used to use in the farm towns, a steel box. Open up, he's taking. It's a small amount, but he's taking nonetheless. And it's not like the toilet is very fantastic or clean in any ways. So in other parts of the world, you have to pay to use the toilet. So in this world, everything is about, it's about money. So when you go to Petra, you have to pay. Then you walk down, 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 and you see all of the mountains. You know, you see, here's one idol carved here, here's one house carved here. Great architecture. And eventually you come to one point where, that's where they stop. Most of the tourists come to that particular point. It's called the treasury. The treasury. This is a massive house that they constructed in the mountain where they used to keep the uplang. There's still a lot to go inside and see, but then that's for those who are adventurous and want to spend a couple of days in the mountains. But most of the tourists come there. I went there once. After that, when I went, I remained on top. I told the rest of the people, you can go. I'm not going to walk to say the same thing three times, because when you come back, it's a steep uphill walk. But nonetheless, the point I'm making is that they had a treasury. That's how much of wealth that they had. It's not only us today with our smart credit cards and EFTs and all of those kind of things. They had bucks. But Allah said, فَمَا أَغْنَىٰ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. It helped them nothing. It came to naught. They had these wonderful rock-solid houses. Rock-solid houses. Today the houses are getting weaker. You go to Australia, everything is made of prefab. A big-sized guy like me, you don't want to even slip a little bit, you go through the whole wall. So you have to worry like, hey, I was just checked properly. I wasn't fall here anywhere, because everything is like prefab. That front door in those houses, if you close it too hard, the whole house shakes. When you walk down those staircases in London, because houses are so small, they're made of that, whatever you call it, some sort of prefab. The whole staircase shakes. You say, what kind of a house is this like, man? It's like those dolly houses that you used to have in the back gardens. But these guys had rock solid homes, rock solid houses. But look at what Allah says, 19 Juz. فَتِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ خَاوِيَةً بِمَا ظَلَمُوا. It's empty. It was deserted. You only could see the next morning after the earthquake and the scream from the heavens, you were only seeing corpses upon corpses. Corpses upon corpses. And the story of Thamud is mentioned repeatedly in the Quran. Repeatedly in the Quran. Why? Allah wants us to take lesson. You and I may not be worshipping idols, we may not be carving homes in the mountains, but we are also transgressing the limits of Allah. And Allah is sending His signs. Sometimes Allah deprives us of rain. Sometimes Allah deprives us of sustenance. Sometimes there's problems in the marriage. Sometimes there's problems in the family. The hadith says, when there's problem in your relationship, it's time to check. If there's problem in your relationships with others, it's time to check your relationship with Allah. It means Allah is not putting barakah. Yet all of these difficulties and hardships, it's not bringing us back to Allah. It's not bringing us closer to Allah. We like to hear lectures about Jannah. We like to hear messages of hope, no doubt. But you know, Jahannam is also a reality. The punishment of Allah is also a reality. And Allah is warning us in the Quran. Allah is reminding us in the Quran. Allah is repeating the story over and over. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدٌ لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. How much are you going to live a life of heedlessness and negligence? How much are you going to continue to transgress and disobey the commands of Allah? When the punishment of Allah comes, that's the lesson in all of these stories. We saw with Nuh alayhi salam, we saw with Hud alayhi salam, now we're seeing in the story of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. It comes in the form of a scream, it comes in the form of an earthquake, it comes in the form of a flood, it comes in the form of a raging wind. But the whoop of